Dan, sometimes when I'm in the dark, I feel more afraid that I'm there by myself.
You're going to have to say that one more time.
Why is that?
Because I didn't process.
You don't need to process it. You want to know why? Because you're listening to episode 106 of the Dan and Cody podcast, where you don't need to know what we're talking about. You just need to listen.
This is the Dan and Cody podcast.
This is it. Right here, Cody. You put on those headphones and you go to work.
Why are you yelling?
This is where our message is heard.
It's time to get hype. Say it with me.
What are we saying?
Dan and Cody.
Dan and Cody.
Dan and Cody.
Meet Dan and Cody podcast.
Dan and Cody podcast.
Dan and Cody podcast.
Get some.
Dan and Cody podcast.
This episode of the Dan and Cody podcast is brought to you by Studio Headphones. Guys, if you want to combine tech and style, check out Studio. Head to their link in our show notes and enter the code DNK for 15% off your order plus free shipping. Or just go to studiosweden.com.
Did you heard about Hawaii, right?
Oh, I did. For 38 minutes, people in the state of Hawaii thought that there was a bomb that was going to be dropped on them.
Inbound ballistic missile text message on your phone. What does Cody do? What's your immediate, like, action?
You know, I was thinking about it when it happened. And the interesting thing is like, do you get a time frame as to when this is going to hit? Because you don't. These people didn't get a time frame. They got nothing. They just said, prepare for an incoming ballistic missile. Inbound ballistic missile, which means, okay.
You fucking jump in a bathtub, right?
You can jump in a bathtub, but really the question is, can you get below ground level? That's the key.
I think you jump in a bathtub with like a mattress over you.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's the thing to do.
Jump in a bathtub. Is that what you do?
I think that's for bombs.
For bombs, you jump in a... I thought you'd get into like a bomb shelter.
Well, yeah, that's your best bet.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, don't you want to get underground? You want to be out of the way
trapped.
Of a blast. Because
you
if you're
trapped underground.
You get trapped on top of a mattress in a tub.
Yeah, I'm foggy there, but I'm pretty sure like there's something structurally good about the bathrooms of homes.
It's the tubs, not the bathroom.
And the tub, yeah.
The tub, if it's a ceramic tub, is pretty powerful.
Yeah.
Right? And this is an interesting question.
And there's that like triangle theory in an earthquake, where like you want to duck under like a structure in your home.
Yes.
That is higher than you, so that it could that surface would withstand any sort of falling debris or something.
Okay, so BBC has posted an article, How to Survive a Missile Attack. What's the official advice? That's
okay.
The headline of the title, right? What would you do if a hostile missile was flying towards your country and you had a few minutes to take cover?
Before you read that, I still want to know, like, what does Cody do and what does Dan do?
Well, here's
like,
what I...
Without knowing anything of that article.
Personally, if it's the situation right now where I live,
mm-hmm.
I go down to the parking garage and I hang out in my car.
You just go in there?
Uh-huh. I make sure I have water. I make sure I have supplies. So what I do is we have some water.
Yeah.
I take the water. Maybe I grab a bag of chips.
You just camp out.
And we go
whip.
Down into the car. We go down into our parking garage. The parking garage is like a big cement block off. And if there's any big major explosion, the idea is that it blows off. Because we have like a four-level condo that we live in. The idea is that if the explosion runs through it, we're protected by the cement barrier that is our parking garage.
Right.
Now...
But wouldn't that... I'd be just afraid that you'd get trapped under there.
I'd be afraid of being on the second story of a giant... Of a building that I have no means of escaping.
Yeah.
Like, either way, you're pretty much boned, right?
Yeah.
And I would rather be underneath the cement that's kind of structurally sound... relative to the second floor of a building that could collapse on top of me.
Yeah.
At least I'm on the foundation of a building.
I think I get what you're saying.
I think it's less likely. Maybe I don't know, but I think it's less likely that the foundation of this building collapses on top of me instead of the random structural holds of a building that I'm in.
I think we jump in the car and we just head north.
You're not going to get anywhere.
We just take off.
If everybody else jumps on the highway, they're gonna shut you down.
Going north? I feel like that'd be the issue going east.
You're telling me you're telling me to head to...
I would just hightail it north.
Okay.
14. 14's right here.
You're going to go stay with Chris Brayton?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm coming, Chris. I'm coming, guys. But no, 14's right here. I think I could hop on. If I got that text...
Yeah.
And I was here with the fam, I'd be like, come on.
I have an extra strategy for a nuclear.
Because where would we go in here?
I have no idea. You can't go south. Yeah. But here, where are you going to go in this house? Where are you going to hide?
The garage? I don't. A tub. Yeah, we'd get in a tub.
Get in a tub.
But then me, Jenny, and Mox couldn't fit in the tub.
No, you couldn't.
That would be.
And Moxie's not going to hold still. Doesn't matter how frightening the situation is.
Yeah, I think we just get in the car and go. Hop in the cube.
Okay.
Speed out of town.
I don't know if I would do that. I'd wait for the explosion before I moved.
Yeah?
I would. We kind of have an exit strategy.
We could go under the underpass, the overpass.
Oh, that's interesting.
Like up in the, up, like, you know.
In the cubby.
If you go under an underpass, we could run there. That's like less
drive
than,
your car. Oh, you're not far from that. Yeah.
Yeah. Run and we just creep up in that. Because
it's on an angle.
Under an overpass.
If the overpass breaks, it's unlikely to fall on you.
Yeah.
Because it's going to kind of like angle itself where it doesn't. Yeah, that's an interesting move.
We could try that.
Major earthquake, do you have kind of a, you know?
Nah, we don't have any like bug out bags or supplies.
Yeah, I know. I think we've
like
kind
that.
Of talked
we got
about
batteries.
Before,
we have a shitload of batteries and candles. But
good. Just make sure you have enough. You can trade them.
Yeah. Sell batteries.
Sell batteries.
So what's that article say? What do you do with a missile?
So it says many tweeted that they were taking refuge in bathtubs or even under mattresses.
Ah, what's up?
But with the official guidance in the event of a North Korean missile attack, get inside, stay inside, and stay tuned. Let's see.
Get inside and stay tuned?
Yes. Just the idea is that you hope that public services are in a good enough place where they can inform you as to what the next situation is.
Yeah.
I mean, if a bomb hits LA.
Do you think this in itself was a test?
No, I think it was some bonehead at the emergency place that ended up hitting it.
But can you...
Like an unintentional test? Are you saying like somebody did it on purpose?
Yeah.
I don't think somebody... I mean, maybe somebody did it on purpose, but it's an idiot. It's not like a planned, organized thing.
Like we're going to test this
text. Yeah.
Why not? Now they know it works.
I mean, they knew it worked before, though.
And then they have a patsy.
If it was a test, why didn't they say, blah, 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 this is a test, and you know it works?
Because maybe they wanted to see how the city reacts, how the state reacts.
Well, it's interesting.
Is there panic? Is there this? The text obviously worked. Who didn't get the text? Like, now they know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, you don't know when a fire drill happens in school. A lot of the times. Maybe the teacher knows, but as a student, you didn't know.
No.
But, like, this was a great dress rehearsal because people were actually in fear for that amount of time.
Yes.
You know?
It's a scary thing.
Yeah, it's fucking... scary as shit. Did you see the guy who fell on his sword, basically, for it? This old Hawaiian guy, and he's like, this was my fault. I'm like, is it, though?
Did he do it?
He said it's his fault. They're going to work on it. Well, I mean, he's probably going to get fired, but they're going to figure out how this can't happen again. And I don't buy that shit one bit either. You're going to make it hard to push this button? And is it just a button? I have so many questions. How can How can someone accidentally just push a button? How big is the button? Where is the button?
It's under a glass encasement.
And they just...
And it says, do not push unless missile coming. Then you push it.
And how can it be that easy? Shouldn't it be like... Like the generic, what you see, like a missile, like you twist two keys and two people have to enter the same code and then hit the button at the same time and then you get the text.
Now, this is all speculation as to what we think it is.
Yeah.
Maybe, just maybe, the guy that was doing this was typing in a bunch of messages that needed to, that could have potentially be sent out in case of an emergency. Volcano about to erupt. Kiss your ass goodbye. Love the state of Hawaii. Missile coming, take cover, stay tuned for more information. Okay. We're going to get a hurricane, make sure you stay indoors, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, these kinds
of
things.
But wouldn't they have said that? Wouldn't they have said, like, oh, yeah, he meant to say typhoon warning?
Maybe they did. I just haven't read enough information to give you. I mean, they're not going to put that in a headline.
I think they just laid it out. They laid it out blatantly, accidental push.
Yeah, but again... All I've read are headlines that say that. I haven't read the whole stories of you.
Right. I saw a couple videos.
Yeah, I mean
about the guy being like, yep, this happened and it's my fault.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he was just, they're like, someone's got to fall on the sword.
Well, basically what the BBC is saying is that if this does happen, they normally have like a missile siren that kicks on that'll tell you that a missile's coming. Yeah, exactly. Like
that's
hurricanes
scary.
Or tsunami. Secondly, they say don't try to run.
Don't try to run.
That's right. You're safer inside the closet. The most protective building is below ground if possible. Somewhere like a concrete basement.
Mm, so your garage might work.
My garage I think would work because it's pure concrete.
Yeah.
The goal should be to put the maximum space between yourself and potential nuclear fallout. In Hawaii, social media footage even showed adults guiding children into storm drains. This is not considered safe because the risk of drowning or dangerous gases being present.
They were leading them into the sewers?
To protect them from the explosion, yeah.
Are you kidding me? Like random people? Like, come on, get in the sewer.
Well, that's some straight up. Families of people that were like there.
That's some Stephen King It shit right there.
Apparently, a North Korean missile would hit. How quickly would it hit Hawaii from where it shot from if it was North Korea? It said it would vary. Last month, the Honolulu Star gave an estimate of 20 minutes.
20 minutes?
So they have 20 minutes from the time it takes off to landing, I'm assuming, which means that by the time they get you a message, it's been in the air for at least 5. So you got 15.
And... Missiles don't just arc over and then hit. They go into space, correct? They get shot into space.
Then it
gets rid of like half of it, and then it like turns around and
probably
and drops.
I don't know much about ballistic missiles.
I'm pretty sure that's how it works.
Like, okay.
It like shoots up direct
like
straight
rocket.
Up into space. Yeah. And then from space it like detached. And then blast
shoots
back
down.
Yeah.
In case also the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, if people want to figure out what you have to do, go to ready.gov.
Ready.gov.
It's a guidance on surviving like a whole range of crises from active shooters to volcanoes to pandemics. Mm-hmm. Right. So in case of a nuclear blast, it says underground, such as a home or office building basement, offers more protection than the first floor of a building. The heavier and denser the materials, thick walls, concrete, bricks, books, and earth between you and fallout particles, the better.
Hmm.
So that's in case of a nuclear... Like, the biggest thing of a nuclear blast is the fallout. Radiation,
yeah.
Right? Your skin.
Right.
You know, you're basically... You're so inundated with radioactive particles that you can die from radiation sickness.
Yeah.
And you can die... Very quickly.
So then what? You want to lay like one of those dental like lead suits over you? Blankets?
If you had a lead blanket, do you carry a lead blanket?
Oh, yeah. I got one in my car.
Oh, nice. Look at you. You're prepped. You're ready to go.
Every time I go to the dentist, I steal the one they lay on me.
Exactly.
I just go home with it. I'm like, no, I brought this. This one's mine.
Let's see. It also says tips for people keen to plan for the extremely unlikely event of a nuclear missile attack. They also say find out from officials if any public buildings in your community have been designated as fallout shelters. If your community has no designated fallout shelter, make a list of potential shelters near your home, workplace, and school, such as basements, subways, and tunnels. Build a disaster supply kit with packaged food, water, and a working radio and other essentials.
Mm. No radio works out here in Canyon Country.
I mean, if there's some kind of like test network, they'd flood the waves. I imagine they flood all the radio waves.
Yeah.
It's just like inundate it with everything, right?
That's scary, man. And could a missile even get to us? Don't we have some shit in Vegas that'll just like blow it out of the sky? Some secret
maybe,
fucking...
Maybe we have things that help identify and blow it up.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I don't think they're crazy enough. You crazy enough to mess with the USA?
Everybody can blow each other up at this point. Are you crazy enough to mess with anybody at this point?
True.
Because honestly, I would hate to think that...
It's all just guns drawn, like...
It really is. It's a
who's going to do it?
It's a Mexican standoff.
Yeah. It's like, let's let no one do it.
It's a little frightening. I wouldn't, you know... I would think that cooler heads would prevail in this scenario, even if the United States was to be blown up by a nuclear bomb.
They have to.
The last thing I would hope we would do is shoot another nuclear bomb.
Yeah.
It's stupid. You want to go fight them and go to war with them? Okay. But sending another nuclear bomb, it's like, okay, now it's just a...
Now what?
Now you're just like, what? How do you top it? Another bomb, another bomb, another bomb. Before you know it, everybody's destroyed. That's the whole thing. Like in the 80s, right? The whole idea was MAD, right? It was MAD, the acronym, where nuclear war was
mutual.
No, mutual assured destruction. And that's what kept the Soviet Union from blowing up the United States and the United States from blowing up the Soviet Union. Because if one of us was to shoot another nuclear weapon,
mm-hmm.
then the other person would have nuclear weapons. And our arsenals were big enough to destroy the world like four times over.
Yeah.
So that's what kept the Cold War in check, was knowing that you do it, I do it. I do it, you do it. We both do it, game over.
Yeah.
What are we fighting for at that point?
It's really a matter of like, would you like to end the world now?
Yeah, right.
I
guess it's a Tuesday. I mean, I just finished my bagel. Let's do this.
Yeah. You want to end the world? Big shot? Big shot, Don? I don't know, man.
It's crazy.
Scary times, man. It's more frightening for me that this button can get pushed and it be an accident.
Well, I'm okay with an alert warning system that's button-based. I'm okay with that. I would be more afraid if it's just a button for a bomb, but that's not the reality.
What if you got heart problems? I'm sure people died over that text. You know?
Were they going to... They'd probably die in a couple days anyway, right?
What if, you know, you get that sort of fucking message and you just like, well, this is it. And you kill yourself. Or like you drink some poison or something. Or like you're in some funky religion and you're like, all right. This is it. Like, the responsibility there.
Well, I'm going to say those people are dumb.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, that's not a cooler heads prevail scenario.
True. Very true.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, be prepared for missile attacks, earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, all of those crazy things that happen in the world periodically. Be ready for them. Check them out.
Be ready for him to check him
out. I mean, I don't know what to say. Good luck. Good luck. Kiss her goodbye. It's over.
Hello, Dankodies. I am Joe Merle.
I am Phil.
We are those movie guys here with your weekly movie recommendations. And Philip, this week I am going with 2017's Lucky, the John Carroll Lynch directed, Harry Dean Stanton starring. This is Harry Dean at his absolute finest, a man at the end of his life. This isn't a super happy movie, but in a way it is. It's just showing, man, live your life the way you want to live it, get to the end of it, and be okay with the life that you lived. But this is a showpiece for his talent as an actor, and you get a little David Lynch sprinkled in there. Nothing to be mad about. So I am definitely going with Lucky this week. And Phil, what do you got for us?
My pick this week was because of all the recent news about possible spinoffs and TV series. I picked 2014's John Wick. And I think it was one of the ones that really made me like Keanu Reeves again.
Yes. It was
just, it's action-packed. It seems, you know, I'm not an assassin, but it seems fairly accurate, his abilities when he's killing folks and shooting them. It's high octane almost the entire time. It's a ton of fun. There's a sequel. There's more coming. So, yeah, 2014's John Wick.
And you get Ian McShane in there, man. You can never be mad with Ian McShane.
Ian McShane is the man.
If he's in something, you need to watch it. So the lesson this week, kiddos, is don't kill another man's dog because that shit will come back to haunt you. So we've got Lucky. We've got John Wick. Dank Odies, get out there. Watch some movies. Those movie guys, out.
Dude, I'm going to Detroit.
Going to Detroit!
Motor City.
Home of my Lions.
Home of the Lions.
Home of the Lions.
Home of the Tigers.
I'm excited.
Home of our buddies, Joe and Phil.
Joe and Phil, those movie guys, living 40 minutes, apparently, from Detroit.
Yeah, something like that, give or take.
That'll be cool. You're going to meet them face-to-face.
Face-to-face.
Take some pictures for me. Do me a favor, Photoshop me in a couple of them.
All right. I'll do that for you.
Yeah, I'd like that.
I'm a little nervous that they are going to be a little disappointed with me.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you? How?
I'm not that cool.
Okay. So what do you have to do to? Are you doing anything to prep yourself to be cooler so that you don't disappoint them?
I don't know. I might have to like have a beer or something. Might have to drink.
So you're gonna
act a little more energetic. Like, hey guys.
So you have
they did the 100th episode.
Congrats guys on your 100th episode. Good job. Congrats. Good job. Good win.
They were like, Dan's the kind of guy who just wakes up and hops out of bed.
That's what they said to you?
That is not me.
They don't know you at all.
That is not me. I fucking slide out of bed.
You literally roll. You fall onto the floor.
Yeah.
And Moxie comes in and rubs your eyes and gives you another drink so you'll wake up and get moving.
Yeah. The first word out of my mouth, first word out of my mouth on a daily basis is fuck.
That's terrible.
Pretty much. Or God damn it.
Okay. I feel terrible that these are your words going into this.
I was just like, oh, fuck.
I got to do this again.
But living. My dad works in Detroit, as some of you may know. And we get the pleasure of going to the Detroit Auto Show.
Yeah, man.
NAIAS, Detroit Auto Show.
Yeah, it's the big one.
The big one.
It's the mother of auto shows.
Yeah.
Super jelly.
A lot of you guys say like, okay, we got an auto show here in
Hoboken.
Hoboken.
New Jersey.
And a Jeep comes and Dodge shows up. This is the auto show in Motor fucking City. All right? We're not playing around. Well, they're not playing around.
And you're not playing around either. You don't play games.
I'm not playing games.
Yeah.
But we go to the charity preview night.
Very nice.
We're like dressed to the nines, good. Tuxes.
Nice.
Mox is going to grandma's, so we're going to get our drink on.
Good. You can be adults for a night.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. It's going to be good times. They have like the badass cars there. It's going to be cool.
I'm excited for you, man.
I'm supposed to look out for a couple cars for you.
Look out for mid-size pickup trucks for old K-Man over here.
I can't see you in a pickup truck.
Well, you'll have to.
I can't.
What do you see me in?
A Subaru. I refuse it.
Yeah, well.
A pickup? What are you picking up? You're going to be one of those guys like on the street and like your truck looks great, it looks all shiny, but like you don't put anything in the back.
Not true.
Like you're going to put wood back there?
Why would I put wood back there?
I don't know.
I'm camping. That's why I'm like, I'll camp. I'll put some wood back there for camping.
Are you going to get a hard top?
No, of course not. Oh, the hard top that flattens it?
Yeah.
Keeps it level and closes off the back?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, those look sweet.
You need one of those because y'all want to be able to put stuff in the trunk and people can't get access to it.
Mm-hmm.
Or the tailgate.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
You ain't get a Hemi powered?
No, I'm not. I'm not going to get a full-size pickup.
What is a Hemi?
A Hemi is the shape of the inside of an engine, mm-hmm. right? You have the pistons.
Yeah.
So pistons normally are flat on the top, right?
I thought the pistons like push down.
They do. They push. Yeah. The pistons move up, but there's a head. There's a piston head that moves inside of the in the valve, right? And it moves up and down, and it's and that that head, that piston head, is normally a cylinder, and the top of it is flat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there are hemispherical cylinders, and what it is it rounds it at the top. So they have sections where they drop the fuel, and the Hemi is supposed to, you know, add some performance enhancement things to it.
Yeah.
But a hemispherical, like, piston valve, essentially.
So I remember for a while there, it was all about, like, Hemi.
Dodge was a big, big proponent of the push, because Hemis
He's
were
got
a big
a Hemi.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is the Hemi?
What is the Hemi? I don't know what a Hemi is.
I'm not sure what a Hemi is, but I need it.
Sounds like it's really good.
Yeah, you shouldn't get a truck without it. And that's great marketing, because I don't know shit about cars, but...
Somebody says I need a Hemi, but well, I probably need it.
But I'm pretty, like, if I see a truck and I'm like, oh, it's a Hemi, I know that that's, like, great.
Yeah, exactly. And Hemis, Hemis have been around for 50, 60 years.
Damn.
So it's not new technology by any means.
Dude, the concept cars at these shows are, like...
Do you get to go in
like
those?
Futuristic.
Do you get to go in those cars?
No, you can't sit in them.
They're just kind of far enough away. Can you look in them?
Yeah. Well, and on the trading night, it's not like packed. It's not as crazy with like the crowds or whatever.
Yeah.
So you can really get up front and like
look around.
See them spin. You can see inside. I bet it's going to be a ton of like self-driving cars there.
You think so?
I think so. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
This will be the year.
Well. It's definitely a changing time, I think, for sure.
Yeah, but I'm psyched to meet Joe and Phil, and maybe we'll go to Slo's. I'm thinking Slo's Barbecue with these guys. It's like the best fucking barbecue in Detroit, man.
And you come back Sunday?
Come back Sunday.
So you leave Thursday?
Mm-hmm.
Thursday early morning?
That's right.
Out of LAX?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Direct flight?
Direct. Straight to DET.
Nice.
It's gonna be cold as shit. I can't do that cold, man.
No, man, I don't feel you for that. It's too bad, but you'll have fun.
Yeah, it'll be a good time. We're excited. Oh, we're gonna binge watch Black Mirror.
Good.
I think, with my dad.
Schmooze with some of the Detroit yokels.
Yep.
Cool.
I'm gonna have to run there.
Yeah, you're gonna have to.
I can't, like.
Yeah, you got to keep up that training, man. You can't stop training.
Yeah, I don't know where I'm going to run there.
I don't know either. Maybe you can get into a gym and just treadmill it.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
But that's fucking it. That would be terrible.
It's the worst kind of run.
Just sitting there.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Miserable.
So it's coming, man. I'll see you guys.
I'm excited for you, man. I'm super excited.
Guys. You all know, I've talked about it for weeks.
Yes.
I'm running the LA Marathon.
Dan is going to run the LA Marathon.
But I'm not just doing it for myself anymore. I'm doing it for the kids.
He's doing it for the kids. What kind of kids? How are you doing it for the kids?
I'm doing it for LA, for CHLA.
Dan's running it for the kids.
Children's Hospital, LA. And I got a page set up.
Page, go to it. What's the website?
It is connect.chla.org/go-to/DanCodyPodcast.
And you can check it out. We're going to post it on all the social medias.
Yeah, I'm going to put it in the show notes. Guys, any donation, big or small, would be awesome. And 100% of that is going to the work they do at the Children's Hospital. So do that. That's going to be my motivation to get this marathon done and trained up for.
So support Dan's run. He's running 26.3 miles, a full marathon.
Yeah.
He's going to bleed. He's going to be like one of those horses that are in those races where the muscles are like tense and they're running and they literally bleed as they run.
That's right.
Going to be Dan. He's going to bleed. He's going to need medical attention from a non-children's hospital.
Yeah.
When he's all said and done. But when he's done, that money's going to the kids.
Nipples will chafe.
They are going to bleed.
Legs will rub.
Taint is going to bleed.
But the kids, kids at this hospital get the loot.
Kids get the loot. Dan's going to take care of the kids. So go ahead, check out that website, check out that link.
I'll put a link in the show notes of this episode. So just click that.
And support Dan for his marathon run and support CHLA.
That's right.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
I was in the Bay Area all of last week, so I was kind of preoccupied. I was just working.
Is that why you're mad at the Warriors?
Mad at the Warriors. No, I'm a Cavs fan. Sunday, Madeline and I went to the Los Angeles Art Show.
Ooh.
We took a train. We had breakfast at O'Dorian's or something like that.
O'Dorian's?
It's like this pub.
O'Dorian rules.
But they had what did they have? They had brunch. And Madeline and I had this great brunch.
What
and,
was it, Maddie?
The tavern.
What was it?
Reardon's Tavern.
Reardon's Tavern.
O'Dorian?
Whatever.
Reardon's.
Madeline remembers these things. That's why she gets paid the big bucks.
Yep.
Anyway, we ate this food for breakfast, and we got done, and it was heavy, and we started to walk back. We started to walk to the convention center, and I'm like, I don't feel so good. And we got in there, and Madeline just shut down.
Really?
I was dragging her around, looking at the paintings.
Oh, no.
And, you know.
Dude, the food bug gets you, man. And it like, takes you.
It shut us down. Shut my wife down really bad.
Did you feel it, too?
I felt it at first, but as we started walking around and I went to the restroom, I felt better after that.
Isn't it amazing how quickly the body says...
Fuck you.
No.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, no and fuck you.
Yeah, basically both.
And like, what have you done?
Yes.
And it will expel. It happened to Jenny the other day.
It's terrible.
And she just got knocked on her ass.
You just got to be careful, man.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was interesting. The paintings were cool. A lot of different artists out there in the world.
You take pictures?
Yeah, with most of them you could.
Yeah.
They had this one which was really neat. It was like this miniature setup, and it was Hollywood, but it was completely broken down, and it looked like a bunch of like ghetto garbage huts that surrounded the mountainside, and it was kind of neat. I have a picture of it. I'll show you.
That's cool.
That's kind of cool. They had some really neat ones. They had this other thing where they projected light onto the screen, and they made it look like shadows.
Mm-hmm.
Like they could project the light as if it was a three-dimensional space, but it was flat. It was really interesting.
Were there like those fucking smug art people there?
You know, or everybody like, that goes to these hosts? Things want to be smug art people. That's why you're there.
They're trying to be smug.
They've got like little bars set up where you can just buy like little mini bottles of wine. And yes, of course.
Did you taste the did that hit your tannins over
the
there?
The tannins there. Oh, look at this Georgia O'Keeffe. Beautiful Georgia O'Keeffe.
That's beautiful. I would love to pair this painting with a Merlot.
Oh, of right course now. You would. This is a fantastic piece to pair it with.
You there, can I have some more cheese, please? While I look at this painting.
This is beautiful.
I'm trying to ignite all of my senses.
The fire.
Yes, the fire.
They had one person.
Did people have weird haircuts there?
No. There was one weird setup, though. There was this person that was dressed up in this full kind of cartoon outfit, and they were maybe 7 feet tall, 7.5 feet tall.
What?
And they were taking pictures in like this cartoon landscape with people.
Mm-hmm.
It was weird.
I'm imagining like you're in just like an all white room, and there's all these like art installations.
It's the LA Convention Center, so they they have like little booth set up throughout this whole space.
Yeah.
And you're walking around and looking at, you know, each individual's kind of set up.
Right.
They're trying to sell art at the same time, you know.
So you could buy there too?
Absolutely. You certainly could. I mean, if you had money to drop on this art, it was all very expensive.
Was it all like paintings or was there like photography art?
Yeah, it was a mix. You get everything from sculpture, painting,
any to human
like
art?
Media art, human art.
Like,
yeah.
Like people like posed.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. They had that one person dressed up in this kind of like
weird
outfit. That was a real walking person.
And that was the art.
That was the art kind of, and you like go in there and they were set up in this, they were posing. It was interesting.
Any toilet seats?
No, I didn't see any toilet seats. They did have punching bags with like dictators' faces all over them.
Really?
Yeah, so Trump was on it.
Really?
Yes.
Where people are like, oh, this I'm really reacting to this.
It was
one.
A big piece because they had maybe 8 full size punching bags hanging from this bar.
You could punch them.
Yeah, they like people were punching them. Like you could walk through it. It was like an interactive piece.
See, that's cool.
It's pretty neat.
Was like Banksy stuff there?
No, because Banksy's street art. He doesn't sell his art. The only time they sell his art is when somebody steals it and then sells it.
Oh, really? Yeah. I didn't realize he...
He might sell something of his own. I don't know.
But I'm like...
I guess I can't speak for Banksy, but I know the famous stuff, it's hard to buy.
Like a fucking fire hydrant that's painted like the silver. Stuff with,
yeah, where there's
it's
like...
It's just a, like random.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm playing with that knife.
Anyway.
That's cool, man.
Yeah, man, but we did
that. Stimulate the brain a little bit.
It was interesting to walk around and check out the space. And you get overstimulated really quickly in these places.
Mm-hmm.
And everything starts to kind of look the same, even though it's all very, very different.
Yeah.
And we went last year. We really enjoyed it. And we wanted to go again this year. And it was just this weekend. So
here's what I'll say about art. People don't like it when you don't get it. And I think not getting it is okay. You know?
I think so.
Like, if we're looking at these punching bags with the dictator's face on it, and I say, that's stupid, like, I shouldn't be looked down upon because I think that that is stupid. You know?
Yes.
But there's something about art where others would see me say that and be like, he's an idiot. Like, he doesn't get it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I don't think that's fair.
No.
Because I could get other stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But, like, if you look at a painting and it's just splatter, art is subjective.
That's what makes it art, I think, more than anything, is that it is so subjective. How you walk away from it is your own like personal take. It's a very personal thing.
And no one should be allowed to say like he has bad taste. He has bad artistic taste or like he doesn't understand art. There's nothing to understand. It's like a personal thing. Yeah. It's an individual connection to a piece.
It's interesting. You know? My wife and I'll walk around and she'll like things and I'll think, wow, it's terrible. And she'll probably see things I like and she'll be like, wow. That's terrible.
That's terrible.
And that's, you know, it's just what it is. Like, everybody has their own tastes and preferences, right?
Yeah. So,
you know, the internet is definitely holding us back from being all individuals because they want to be able to track what we love and like. But reality is we all like different things.
Right.
And
they
want to
jam it down your throat.
Driven and loved, we love different things differently, you know?
And to that point of, like, not knowing what the other thinks is terrible and what's great and whatnot. It's no one can tell you what art is and is not. Therefore, I feel like it's not teachable. You know? Like we have art class. I took an art class in college and the teacher every day would like, she'd show me these things and be like, Daniel, is this art? I'd be like, no. A lot of the time. And then she'd ask me to explain why and I would always have a thing. I'm like, well, it's a toilet. You know, that's not art. The person who made the toilet, maybe, but because this person splattered a bunch of yellow paint on it, no, it's not fucking art. It's a toilet with paint on it.
Yeah, but at the same time, I could argue the opposite to that, though.
Sure.
Too. Because you even made the statement of how subjective art is. It's whatever you take away it being.
Right.
So if art is to you something that invokes emotion and makes you think or feel something, if somebody watched their mother being bashed in the head with a toilet and there's blood all over it, and this person then sees a toilet with red paint on it,
right?
There could be
it's
some
going
piece
to spark
of art
something.
Where it's going to spark some kind of emotional thing, and you're going to have some kind of emotional connection to that that you don't know why, or maybe you do know why.
Yeah. But that, and so how can someone teach art?
I don't think someone can teach art. I do think somebody can teach you how to create things and however you want to, what's the word?
Like the craft of.
Yeah, like for
someone
example,
can teach you how to take a picture.
Yeah.
But they can't teach you what is aesthetically pleasing to everyone.
No, and you can't, you know? And nobody's going to be able to teach you how to take something that's aesthetically pleasing to everybody. Somebody can teach you how to draw. Somebody can teach you how to paint. Somebody can teach you the rules and how to break those rules.
Yeah.
But
and
nobody,
the people who break those rules are the famous motherfuckers who,
well,
who are considered high art.
It's all about trying something new and different, right?
Yeah.
I mean, but paintings have been done for thousands of years, and it's interesting because you look at old paintings and it shows the societies and the worlds and the way those worlds were viewed through that painter's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at today's imagery and it's not the same by any means. It's very, very, right. very different.
But the fact that you can break the rules of art and be looked at as an innovator, it's like the Matrix. Like, there is no spoon, you know? There's just no measure of successful art.
Does that make sense? There's no measure of. I mean, I don't know if there's no measure of successful art. It really comes down to those artists that have been generally accepted as being famous and great. I'm not exactly sure what makes them famous and great.
Yeah.
Is it the fact that their art changed the times that they were in, their art defined the times that they were in, or their art actually, and this is maybe a little more questionable, but their art was this, their art was the popcorn of its time, and people were into it.
Hmm.
And that's why it is what it is today. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it yeah. makes sense.
So,
would you call it an advertisement art?
Yeah.
I got an advertisement for you.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
IKEA.
Oh, IKEA. Okay.
IKEA, they put out an ad of a crib. It's just a piece of paper of a crib.
Yes.
And the ad says, peeing on this ad may change your life.
Peeing?
Peeing.
Like urinating.
Yes. And this is IKEA... They want you to pee on this ad, and if you're pregnant, a discount on the crib in the ad will be revealed.
So, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
So, like, if you're knocked up, if you know you're pregnant. So
you have to know you're pregnant?
No.
Or, no.
The ad is basically a pregnancy test.
Yes. So you're going to pee on it. It's going to tell you whether or not you're pregnant. And if you are, then all of a sudden, this a 25% discount is revealed on your crib that you're going to purchase.
On the crib.
That's pretty dope.
You think that's cool?
I think that's amazing.
Until you're the... Yeah, but until you're the guy at the cash register, and he's got to accept all these ads with piss all over him.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Like, reveals the ad.
I also feel bad for, like... Like the teen girl who stole her mom's IKEA catalog. I just slept with Billy.
Yeah.
I think I'm pregnant. Mom, look. And she's like holding and waving the ad.
Yeah.
We got to save 25% on this.
We're like, honey, go down in the store and get like 30 of those ads. So, because we just need them as pregnancy tests.
Just in case.
But yeah, it's a Swedish agency.
Yeah, it's IKEA.
They've been killing it with IKEA work in recent years. The ad was created in collaboration with Mersenne Labs.
Okay, so some pregnancy lab place.
Yeah, the ad's running in Amelia Magazine, which is the agency says it's one of Sweden's most influential magazines for women.
I would say that is definitely one of the more artsy types of ads.
Yeah.
It's interactive. It's informative.
Yep.
And it allows you to see things a little differently.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if that's not art, I don't know what the hell is.
What if you think you're pregnant and you pee on this ad and it doesn't work?
Sounds like you just...
You need to go dispute it? Like, I am pregnant.
I think that's art in itself.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I peed all over this ad.
I would take a board, a huge board, and I'd take that ad and I'd have my wife pee on it every single day. Disappointment, 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 and then finally
discount.
discount. That's right.
Yeah, we got to get a hold of these ads.
Yeah, those are great. I'd like to try peeing on it and seeing if I'm pregnant.
There was another pee-based advertisement. Animal Planet put urine-scented ads at the bottom of lampposts to attract dogs, whose owners then saw a larger ad at their own eye level.
Okay, that's an interesting way to like to get somebody to look at an ad.
Yeah, so like the pet would stop. Pet would stop, so the human has to stop, wait for the pet to pee, and then there's an ad right there for you.
Interesting.
There's also ads that are at a frequency in which adults of a certain age can't hear it. You hear about those?
No.
Like only children can hear it.
Really?
Yeah.
Kids can hear this?
Yeah. Well, it's fucked weird. Up.
It's kind of like that sixth sense where they see dead people.
Yeah.
Now they're seeing ads.
Yep.
Damn it. They're always trying to get into our brains.
Yeah, but it's cool. It's a great way for companies to be like, we don't want old people on our shit.
If you can like customize your base and
mm-hmm.
choose who you want to hear what you have to say.
We want the young guns.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was cool. Go art.
Yeah, that's amazing. Go art. Go art. Man, I've been thinking about taking up an instrument.
Yeah?
Yeah, I have. But the problem is every time I take up an instrument and I record it, it's so scratchy.
Really?
Yeah, it's like it's in my head and I'm like, it's like I play my trumpet, right? And I'm like, boop, 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 and it's just, I'm not understanding what I'm hearing. I just need something with quality. Something clean. Any suggestions?
I know what you need, bro.
What?
You want to hear that trumpet in dope sound?
Dope sound. The dopest.
You need to get Studio Sweden headphones.
Studio Sweden headphones?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about them. Why are these so much better? And how am I going to be able to hear my trumpet, man?
Because not only are you going to hear that trumpet, you're going to look nice hearing that trumpet.
Ooh, can I wear them when I play my trumpet?
Yeah. Ooh. Absolutely. They got all kinds. They got the Regent Blacks. They got the Regent Whites. They got the TRE Blues.
What?
They got TRE Pinks if you want them. The headphone design is fantastic. They don't fall out of your ear.
And the sound quality must be up there.
Yeah. That trumpet is going to be...
Wow, dude. Clean.
Yeah.
Go ahead and check out those Studio headphones. Go to the Dan and Cody Instagram page. Click on the link. And from there, you type in D and K. And you save 15% on your mm-hmm. Studio purchase. Get them headphones.
Studios. Free shipping.
Florida boy dies of rabies after a sick bat scratches him.
What?
Yep. So a six-year-old boy in Florida died of rabies after being infected. I don't know how long it was. Several days. It scratched him. His dad had caught this sick bat, put it in a bucket, told his son not to touch it. Son touched it anyway. The bat scratched him. He's infected with rabies. They gave him an experimental procedure to help save this kid's life. But unfortunately, the kid didn't make it. But once you start showing symptoms of rabies, for the most part, you're done.
Really?
If you are scratched with something and you go to the doctor and they give you the rabies vaccine,
yeah,
most cases, you beat it.
You'll come through.
But if you wait too long, game over, man.
Do you have to get a rabies shot growing up?
No.
Is that one of the?
I think it's only
tetanus, right?
I don't know if you get a tetanus. Is it a tetanus? I don't know.
You definitely should get a tetanus shot, I think, every like 7 years or something.
You get several, I think, is what it is.
Damn. So, you know who has bats? Phil.
What?
From Movie Guys.
What is he doing?
He gets bats in his house.
What? He gets them in his house. He doesn't collect them.
No.
Oh, I thought you meant that he has them as pets.
No. Jesus. Well, he might. I don't know.
Terrible.
Phil, if you're keeping those things as pets, you better get rid of them.
Get them out of there, man. What are you doing?
Save the kids. So the kid got rabies?
Yeah, that's what it works. It's just like Old Yeller. You get scratched by something. You
foam at the mouth.
You foam at the mouth, man. You end up dying.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. They didn't see a doctor until he started having a symptom a week later. He had numbness in his fingers and a headache.
Took a week?
Took a week.
Oh my God.
The scary thing is it is terribly, like, you can contract it if it gets in your bloodstream easily. All this kid had was a scratch. Rabies. It's not like the bat bit him. Scratch. Rabies.
And we're quote unquote the top of the food chain. And that shit can take you out.
It'll take you out, man.
A scratch.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. But just be careful. I mean, well, like, if you had to die from a disease, what would it be?
Ebola.
What? It's the worst.
A disease? I don't know. Do you want it to go slow or do you want it to just end?
Just make it fast. If I'm going to die from it, no matter what it is, just make sure that it's quick.
Yeah, maybe like a snake bite.
Snake bite's not going to be fast, is it?
Mm.
I'm thinking instant death. Give me a monster cardiac arrest where my heart just explodes.
But that's not an aneurysm.
It's not an aneurysm? Heart attack?
That'll
heart disease?
Yeah, that'll snap and get you.
Boom, blood vessel in the brain pops, you just collapse. I mean, I don't want that to happen to anybody, but I'm just saying, if I had to go.
You want it not painful?
I just want to be painful and quick.
Hmm.
Painless and quick.
Painless and quick.
Ah, dead. So much pain, that's the last thing I know. Dead.
Yeah, but I mean, there's benefits and disadvantages to both. Because if it's painless and quick, you didn't say bye to anybody, you know?
Well, I signed up for the old 1-2, which is the slow, painless death, which is where you're born, you live life, and then something kills you later down the road.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm down for that.
Yeah.
I'm down for that. Is it time?
I think it's time. I think it's time for this week's
Champion of the Week.
The Champion of the Week. Yeah.
All right, so Dan, so I was looking at Champion of the Week, and I came across this guy that was building a road for his kids, this 5-mile road, because it was hard for them to get to school, to get to where they needed to go. And I thought, oh, I should totally do that. Until I came across this guy, who not only built a road, but he carved a road through a mountain to help a village.
Are you kidding?
So here's the story. So this guy, his name is Dashrath Manshi. He's from an Indian community in Birar, India. And what had happened was their village that he grew up in, or that he like lives in with his wife, is 35 miles or 70 kilometers from a hospital. They have to go around this huge mountain to get there.
Right? Yeah.
Well, his wife got sick, and he needed to get her to the hospital, and he couldn't get her to the hospital in time. So what ended up happening, I don't think she necessarily died, but she struggled with this, right?
Right.
So he decided, I'm going to make it so that it's easier for my villagers to get to the hospital. And there was an easy way to get to it. He had to go through a mountain. So over the course of 22 years, he carved a road through the middle of this mountain for these people. And he did, and people thought he was nuts. They thought he was crazy. Like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this?
Got to make this road.
And he ended up, what he ended up doing was he'd heat up all the rocks with fire.
Yeah.
And then he'd spray them down with cold water. Heat them up, spray them down. Heat them up, spray them down. And he would weaken these rocks. And he carved a hole through this mountain pass.
Wow.
And he would work on this road in the evenings when he wasn't working. So he
had a job on top of this.
Yes, he did. He sold his family's 3 goats to buy a hammer and chisels. And he worked every day on the project to make it successful. And this took him from 1960 to 1982. And, you know, once he finished, it was 20 feet, 25 feet high. The road is 30 feet wide and 360 feet in length. And now that traveling distance is only a mile to get to the hospital.
Wow. Yep. A true perseverance story.
Yep.
Of a man who said enough is enough.
That's true. And he didn't get any credit until after he was dead.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn. What's his name?
His name is Dashrath Manji.
Dashrath Manji?
Mm-hmm.
You're a good man. It takes a lot to, like, see a project through, man. Like, you don't think about that a lot.
No, especially a project that's 22 years in the making. And with this guy, he didn't know if he was ever going to finish.
Yeah, you could easily just be like, eh, fuck it.
Especially when you're just pounding a tool into the side of a mountain every day.
Ding, 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 ding. You know what I think of? I think of the music video of The Unforgiven.
I don't know this one.
Metallica.
Mm-hmm.
So I done The Unforgiven, and that dude is just in a room for like his whole life, and he's like a kid, and then he like becomes an adult, and he's just like carving
into the wall,
and yeah. He like carves a fucking like stone,
yeah,
and he like pulls it out and then crawls through, and like I think that's the end of the video.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's pretty amazing. I think it's a beautiful story.
Damn.
Yeah.
Well done.
Well done, Dashrath Manji. And that makes you our
champion of the week.
I want to tell you about a company called JC Roomblocks. Do you have 10 or more out-of-town guests coming to an event near you? Maybe you have a bris, a wedding, a family reunion, a science convention. Maybe some friends are coming in town and they just want to get drunk in one place. Or your mom's coming into town and she's got 10 brothers and sisters and they need a room so they can all come over to your house and have a bagel. Well, I have the answer for you. JC Roomblocks, they research hotels in the area that you need the rooms. So if you're in San Diego, they're going to find those rooms. They're going to put them together for you. Oh, what? You need to be in Boston for a little bit? No big deal. Go over to Boston and hang out with your Boston friends. You got 10 or 15 of them and you need a room? Fucking Boston. That's what you're going to do. Since they're certified travel agents, they can get you the lowest possible rates. On top of discounted rates, they can also negotiate highly discounted bridal suites, shuttle service, and food and beverage functions. If you mention the Dan and Cody podcast, that's us, they'll waive their fee. That means you don't pay anything, okay? Check them out, jcroomblocks.com. I'm going to repeat that, jcroomblocks.com. They're on Facebook, they're on Twitter and Instagram. Follow them, check them out, get all them rooms!
Now you ready to muddle it up with some crime?
I'm ready for some crime. I mean, I think I'm ready for this week's True crime.
This hits close as shit to home.
This hits close to home for you. I feel it does. I don't know what it is, but it does.
A suspect was arrested after a deputy was stabbed.
Oh, a deputy was stabbed. Okay.
In Santa Clarita.
Okay.
This was just last week, I think.
Okay.
Donald Chinchilla.
Donald Chinchilla.
21.
Stabbed. 21.
Stabbed an on-duty deputy in the chest after asking whether he was indeed an officer at a Jack in the Box in Canyon Country at 10 a.m.
He stabbed the police officer.
After asking, are you a cop?
Are you a cop? Yes, I am.
Bah!
Unsheathed knife. Stab.
Stab at 10 in the fucking morning.
What was he mad about?
We'll see. The victim, 26-year veteran with the LA County Sheriff's Department.
26 years.
Rushed to the hospital.
I bet.
And he's expected to be fine.
Good.
At the time of the attack, he wasn't wearing his uniform, but he did have a sheriff's badge. The suspect was arrested previously for a misdemeanor on the 29th. Those details aren't available. But Chinchilla fled to a residential area in Canyon Country, and a canine located the suspect hiding in a backyard and bit him.
Wow.
Yeah.
So the dog caught the perp.
Dog caught the perp, bit
canine
him.
Canine perper. It's a canine community arrest.
Yeah. He was taken into custody around noon.
Doggone it.
He underwent medical clearance before being booked on suspicion of attempted murder, and the officials recovered a large kitchen knife at the scene, according to the LA Times.
And unfortunately, he passed with rabies.
People think this is gang related.
Okay.
Like an initiation.
Okay.
Like go.
Are you a cop? Yes. Bah. Stab.
Yeah, find a cop and kill him.
I mean, that's a poor way of trying to kill somebody. Grab a gun.
Yeah. It's very personal.
It is.
To stab.
Stab somebody's a very personal thing.
It's not like the movies, man. No. That shit doesn't go in easy.
They look at you in the face.
Yeah.
That's a face look. That's a whole, like, you watch somebody die when you stab somebody.
Yeah.
That's not like a boom, shoot in the face and walk away.
A kitchen knife. To me, that means butter knife.
No.
You think it's a steak knife?
Yeah, of course. Come on. One stab, multiple stabs?
I think it was just one
just
stab.
Just the one. He just goes up, kitchen knife to the chest, I'm walking away.
And if that is a gang initiation thing, you're not really initiating many folks into your gang. Because you're not getting away with this. This guy's not getting away with this.
Not at all. Especially to a cop.
He's not joining the gang.
No, I've watched Blue Bloods. When you hurt one cop, you got a whole bunch of other cops that get real pissed.
You got a lot of other cops.
It's a brotherhood, man.
Yeah. If you like Blue Bloods, man, you're going to like 911 on Fox.
Okay, I'm excited to check it out.
It's really, really cool.
I'm really excited to check it out.
But yeah, so, I mean, Canyon Country, I moved out of the hood to come here. And now this shit is happening at 10 a.m.? Yeah, you're moving into my hood.
Yeah, that's right.
I came up out of that ghetto.
Van Nuys crimes.
Dude, all right, let me tell you about Van Nuys. Here's what's up.
There we go.
There's a thing called Mattress Monday that I made up.
Yeah, I remember.
Every Monday.
People throw their mattresses out on the street.
There's going to be a mattress somewhere.
Yep, Sherman Way is Mattress Road.
Yeah.
Find tons of mattresses. You guys need a mattress? Check out Sherman Way.
If homeless people are sleeping near your apartment, you can call the police, but they won't do anything.
Yes.
Because they're jerks.
Well, it's public streets.
Yeah.
Owned by the people.
And then once I was running and a guy was sleeping on the sidewalk.
You stepped on him?
I was like, oh, fuck.
You dived out of his way.
I had to, like, go around him. And then I saw a cop driving. I was like, excuse me. There's a guy. I think he's passed out on the sidewalk there.
Yeah.
That was Sherman and Kester.
Hey, man, to be fair, Toluca Lake's not any different. We got that abandoned house right next door.
Oh, yeah,
we
raid.
We got the homeless guy that came over. Yep. By the way, he keeps coming back, or she keeps coming back. As a matter of fact, they broke into the shed that was in the back, and they were throwing shit around. It woke Madeline and I up.
Really?
We looked out the window. There they are right down there just going through it. Literally. It's pitch black.
Did you call
you
the cops
see
again?
Anything. No. Because all they do is they come and they tell them to leave, and then this person comes back anyway. What's the point?
What is the deal with that house? They just know it's abandoned?
The house. Yeah, they know the house is abandoned. The house was the property, I imagine, was purchased by some big like property purchasing company that's going to come in, tear the house down and put in some complex.
Yeah.
Like that's what's going to happen.
Right.
But, you know, it's abandoned property. They don't do anything. They upkeep the front by keeping the lawn short, but aside from that, that backyard, we look right into it. It's a garbage center. These people, there's a couple mattresses back there.
They're just set up there?
They just set up. They go in the house. They go in and out whenever they please. Whatever. They're my neighbor.
They set up shop, man.
They're my neighbor for the next 2 or 3 weeks, but
and then
whatever.
You're gone. Then you should leave them a gift.
I will.
You really should.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Dan and Cody podcast. You can listen to all of our episodes on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher. And if that's not enough for you, we're all over social media, Snapchat, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. And you can bookmark our website, thedanandcodypodcast.simplecast.fm. Subscribe, bitch!
Hey, everybody, play the tough guy and shit, bro. Right.